Hey friend, welcome back to The Strong Her Way to Eat, Move, and Live. Here we talk all things food freedom, fitness, and life transformation, helping you heal your relationship to food, exercise, your body, and ultimately yourself. All right, this week we are talking about a couple of different episodes. These were questions that have come in recently with clients, and I wanted to just kind of dive a little bit more into them and address them for you as well. Hope that you are having a great day. I hope that if you're listening to this on Monday, the day that I'm recording it, that your week is off to a good start. All right, let's go ahead and dive into this first question, or really the first part of this question. So the question is that if you started out overweight and you're now at a healthy weight or a goal, how hard did you have to track your calories? Now, this comes up a lot. I think for most women, the calorie tracking tends to be something that over time is unsustainable, right? I see a lot of all or nothing thinking. So if clients tend to track, they start to track every last bite, every last crumb that they put into their mouths, which can definitely result in some disordered eating tendencies, obsessing over food, and really kind of creates problems in other areas of their lives, right? Maybe you find that once you start tracking macros or calories, you really kind of become consumed with this. And either you're always kind of mentally doing the math, or you're always pulling your phone out so that you can hurry up and add that in. And so you just want to think about for yourself that if tracking calories or macros causes you to obsess about food, creep into disordered eating tendencies, stresses you out, really starts to consume your time or energy, or you're noticing it creating other problems in different areas of your life, then what I would say to you is do not track your calories, do not track your macros. There are definitely other ways that you can gauge roughly how much food you're eating or how much food your body needs. Right, so one tool that I really like to use with my clients is their hand to give them essentially a rough estimate of macros for proteins, carbs, fats, etc. Another issue to really kind of consider here is that calorie counting isn't all that reliable in the first place. And a couple of reasons for that is that usually we're pretty bad at estimating how much food we've eaten and how many calories we've burned, right? So unless you are actually weighing your food on a food scale, even just eyeballing or, measuring mentally how much food you thought you ate, we tend to kind of forget exactly how much food we've eaten, right? And there's some unreliability as well within the food labels, right? So there is miscalculations on the food labels. Maybe we're not calculating accurately how much food we're eating. Our watches and fitness trackers tend to be a little bit off in the estimated calorie burn. So it's really easy to end up with a fairly large margin of error when you are tracking your food. Nutrition labels, like I said, also have a hefty margin of error. So you might think that you're only eating 100 calories of something, when in reality, maybe you're eating closer to 125, 150 calories. Maybe your watch said that you burned 200 calories doing this specific workout, but maybe you really only burned 100 or 125. So for me, when I think about calorie counting or tracking your macros, what you want to think about is this something that's sustainable? Recognize that there are some imperfections with it. And noticing, like, is this causing you to have a disordered or unhealthy relationship to food? Right, so if you're wanting to look at how can I still kind of be mindful about the amount of food that I'm eating, make sure that I'm getting, you know, enough protein or adequate carbs, or I'm not overeating or something like that specific to your goals, then to really take a more mindful and intuitive approach is by starting to listen to your body's own natural hunger and fullness cues, right? Using your hand to help guide the amount of food that you're eating so that you're not having to track everything so perfectly. Separately, I would also say, right, so that kind of deals with the tangible aspect of keeping track of how much food you're eating, but it would also be a good idea to work on your relationship to food, to your body, and to your weight. This can really help you kind of clean up a lot of those disordered eating patterns or food obsession. And I am definitely speaking from personal experience on this one. I've shared many times before on the podcast that there was a short stint of my life where I was doing figure competing, and I weighed every single food, every single bite of food that I put into my mouth on a food scale. I kept track of it in a tracker. And while I definitely got some results, like I lost the body fat, I was able to get my body, like, quote unquote, stage ready, I also was thinking about food all the time, right? There was this kind of unhealthy fear and obsession and stress that just started to creep in because I was always worried about, like, am I eating too much? Am I not eating enough? And for me, that really ended up not being sustainable because I never really felt like I could be fully present or engaged in the rest of my life. So through kind of ditching the diet mentality around food, moving away from meticulously tracking my calories, learning how to eat a little bit more based on my body's natural cues, you know, getting better over time at really eyeballing portions, that for me has been the most sustainable thing. But I've also had to really work on cleaning up my relationship and healing my relationship to food and to myself to help me get to a place that I wasn't turning, you know, intuitive nutrition into another diet, right? Just approaching the same thing, you know, something different, a different set of behaviors with the same mindset or mentality around it. So I think one of the things that most people don't really realize is that if you don't address the underlying motives or fears or reasons behind your behavior, it's oftentimes just going to keep resurfacing and coming back, maybe in the same specific area, or you might also start to see it creep up into other areas as well. You're never really going to feel like you quite made it to your goal. It's going to feel like you're always having to lose weight, or maybe you find yourself gaining and losing the same 5 or 10 or 15 pounds over and over again, versus finding a place where you really are kind of in maintenance mode, where this is really just your lifestyle and you're not always thinking about the scale having to move. This is that place where you finally start to feel comfortable and confident in your body. You're working out more regularly and consistently. You're also feeding your body well, meaning it's getting just the right amount of food, not too much food, not too little, but you're feeding it also a well-rounded diet, right? So we're not restricting certain foods. You're able to go out and enjoy dinner with your family if you want to and not feel like you're cheating or you're doing something bad to where that ends up driving that guilt or you beating yourself up. In essence, if you don't really work on your relationship to food and to yourself, it's going to always keep you kind of looping through those same diety behaviors around food, the all or nothing, the black or white thinking, being super rigid and totally inflexible versus really being able to have a more flexible relationship with food to where you're not always relying on having to track your food in order to know how much food your body needs. So this kind of rigid or black and white thinking does not really allow for there to be those bad days or those off days. It doesn't allow for flexibility at all. And when I see my clients really slipping into that all or nothing thinking, it's either they're all good, they're all doing everything that they should be doing, or they're all off, right? So this is where we feel like, oh my gosh, I had 3 good days, and then the weekend came and I totally ate like crap. I ate completely off of my plan. It keeps you kind of in that start-stop cycle rather than just recognizing that, hey, like, yeah, I didn't eat perfectly over the weekend and I can just pick right back up, right? So really just looking at it as you're not really on or off of a wagon. It's more of a journey and kind of zooming out and seeing that there are going to be some days where maybe you eat more ideally than others, and there are going to be some days where you don't eat as well as you want to, and that's okay. Like, we don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to completely stop and just kind of keep going down one rabbit hole. It's just a matter of kind of picking yourself up and getting just right back on track, right? Just like slipping right back into it. It's no longer this heavy or hard thing that takes a bunch of time and energy to get yourself motivated to start again. So if for you, though, you find that you are able to track and you don't stress, you don't obsess, you don't slip into disordered or an unhealthy relationship with food, then by all means, track your calories, track your macros. But if you feel like as soon as you start to track, you start to notice all of that internal dialogue or chatter come back up, or you start to creep into that disordered pattern, then what I would say to you is feel free not to track. Instead, start to take a more intuitive and mindful approach to nutrition, learning how to eat for your body's needs and goals based on what your body's telling you and how you're eating. And like I said, you can definitely use your hand as a guide to help you get a good idea of how much protein, how much carbs, how many fats you should be eating at each meal. So roughly one palm size, the size of your palm and the thickness of your palm, is one serving of protein. A cupped handful for you would be a cup of carbs, right? That would be your serving of carbs. A thumb, one of your thumb sizes, is a serving of fat specifically for you. So you can eat based on that at each meal and then kind of make adjustments based on how satisfied or how satiated you're feeling after that. Okay, next question for the picky eaters who do not specifically like vegetables and who notice that they have a sweet tooth. Now, there are a few clients that come to mind when I think about this or when I read this question. And if you're a mom with kids and maybe you like vegetables, but your kids are still kind of on the fence about what vegetables they like, this is going to apply to you, whether it's your kids or it's yourself, and you're just wanting to branch out, include more vegetables, or be a little bit more adventurous. So what I would say initially is start by just incorporating more of the vegetables that you already do like, right? So there's no need to force yourself to eat a bunch of vegetables that you don't like yet. However, you also want to approach this really with an open mind, right? So a lot of times we kind of have an idea about vegetables that we don't like, but maybe we've never tried them, we haven't tried them in a while, or we tried them once or twice when we were kids, and maybe we just really didn't like the way that they were prepared. So it wasn't anything about the vegetables, it was more about how they were prepared. So I would say, yes, start with the vegetables and the fruits and things like that that you already do like, and maybe just work to incorporate more of those. And then along that same line, be willing to try things that you haven't tried in a while and just see if your taste buds have changed, or maybe try preparing it in a slightly different way to see if you like it prepared this way as opposed to the other way. I remember there was a time where I hated any lettuce that was not iceberg because it tasted like dirt. It just tasted like I was eating a mouthful of weeds. But over time, I've really learned to like all different kinds of lettuces and greens. So that's proof that your taste buds can change. Now, one food I still do not like, no matter how many times I've tried it, is olives. And in fact, I feel like the better quality the olive is, the more or the less I actually end up liking it. So that's one way that you can start to incorporate more veggies, is just trying new things slowly, right? Trying things that you haven't tried in a while, eating more of the veggies that you already do like. You can also look at pureeing certain vegetables or chopping different ones up super small so that you really can't taste it, or the texture kind of changes a little bit. And that could be another way to just kind of sneak some extra veggies in. Another thing I like to do, and I really started doing this with our mashed potatoes, is I would add in some steamed cauliflower, or I would add in steamed parsnips as well. So I would do kind of a blend of cauliflower and potatoes, or potatoes and parsnips, to add in some different vegetables, but to also kind of introduce maybe cauliflower or parsnips to the kids before they knew that they really liked them. So those are some ways that you can try to start to incorporate a little bit more vegetables, especially if they are not a huge hit for you. Addressing the sweet tooth aspect of this question, one of the things that I've noticed with sugar is that it's like the more that we eat it, the more that we crave it. So for some people, it's just easier and maybe a better idea to not keep the sugar around, at least for a while, so that sweet tooth can kind of be curbed. Again, I think it would also be worthwhile to really explore, like, when do you notice that you tend to gravitate towards sweets or desserts or treats? Are you stressed? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling lonely or anxious? And then really addressing the mental and the emotional stuff that's happening. And then you might even be surprised that that physical habit of grabbing for sugar just sort of resolves itself. So I think understanding like what's going on for you there, but then also just recognizing that sugar is one of those foods that our brain really likes. It really lights up the dopamine centers. It makes us feel happy, even if it's just temporarily. So it would make sense that we would want to keep having it, right? So if you find that it's hard for you to really eat it in moderation or eat the amount of it that you want, for one, you know, definitely work on your relationship to sugar and sugary foods and treats, but also maybe taking a period where you're kind of fasting from it or abstaining from it for a little while so that your cravings for it can start to diminish and die down a little bit there. All right, so that is what I have for you today. Just to recap, we did hit a couple different topics. One was tracking calories or macros. If you find that that creates food obsession or stress or starts to create problems in different areas of your life or you notice some disordered eating tendencies creep in, then I would say number one, work on your relationship to food for sure. But number two, just recognize that there are other ways that you can be fairly mindful about the amount of food that you're getting in without having to meticulously track it. Keep in mind that the black or white, that rigid thinking around food is ultimately just going to keep you kind of enslaved to the diet mentality around food, constantly riding the roller coaster of starting over, the all or nothing. So if you really want to be able to be a little bit more flexible around food, then this is where understanding why you do what you do around food is going to be crucial for helping you overcome that. Number two, to get more veggies in, simply eat more of what you already like. Look for ways that you can start to introduce or sneak some new veggies in to dishes that you already like, pairing them with vegetables that you already enjoy as well. Don't be afraid to try something that you haven't tried in a while. Try preparing it in a slightly different way just to see if you like it. Last but not least, if you have a sweet tooth or sugar cravings, then don't hesitate to, again, kind of explore what's going on for you in your relationship to sugar and sweet foods and treats and things like that, to really kind of address any mental or emotional stuff that's happening. But also don't be afraid to just kind of take a step back. Sometimes decreasing the cravings or our desire for the sweet foods means that we have to go through a period of just not really having it around a lot so that we don't just keep craving it. Because what I see with my own kids, what I even notice with myself is that if I have a weekend where for whatever reason I'm eating a lot more sweets and treats, it seems like it's so much easier or it's so much more on my brain to just continue to eat the sugary foods. So that's where I'm not totally opposed to you just having a period of time where you kind of fast from it or abstain from it for a little while, just to kind of reset your taste buds. So that is what I have for you this week. I hope that this episode was helpful for you. Hope that it kind of put some things into a new light or a new perspective for you. Now, I know that it is super easy to come and listen to the show. You might be feeling all sorts of inspired and motivated to make these changes, but what I see really fall apart for people is the consistent implementation. Now, this is really no fault of your own. It's just that we are creatures of habit. So even though there are new behaviors or new habits or patterns that you're wanting to create in your life, you're going to be operating from the old way of doing things, right? So I kind of liken this to simply just trying to change the behaviors from the outside in versus really becoming the person who has adopted this new lifestyle mentally, emotionally, physically. Like it actually has become a part of how you see yourself and identify yourself. So if you are really wanting to explore what working with a coach would be like and how that could really take it from just being another podcast or more information that you're taking in, but actually applying it to your life to create real lasting life changes for the rest of your life, then I want to invite you to hop on a free consult with me. So this is just a time where we're really going to hash out your goals, your dreams, the vision that you have for yourself, I'll help you identify exactly what has been keeping you from achieving that on your own. You'll walk away with a blueprint, and best of all, you're going to be walking away with somebody that is walking with you alongside on this journey. So if you're interested in learning more, you can head to alishacarlson.com to get some more information. And if you want to sign up for that consult, head to alishacarlson.com/coaching to get more information on that. If this episode blessed you or was a highlight of your day, please do share this with somebody else so that they can get some help as well in this arena. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day, and I'll be back here with you again next week. Thanks. Bye.